Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a return guest, somebody I really enjoyed having on before because it was such an enlightening show. And I'm always looking for new ways to bring information out so patients and doctors can learn what they don't know. And I think we're in a position now where it's all about expanding your knowledge, expanding your ability to help yourself and to be your own advocate as a patient, and for doctors to double down on being an advocate for their patients. And I think the body is self-healing. And somebody who I think who can speak to that is Dr. Anna Blessing. She was on about a year ago and we had a wonderful conversation. And I wanted her to come back because she is just on the next level. It's about always expanding, always reaching out for what's best for the patient. And I think we both have a connection in terms of believing that the body is self-healing and it's all about balance. So I wanted to welcome her back. She operates a frequency wellness center in Tucson. And she, after having a traditional medical approach fail in her own health journey, where she suffered from fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, migraines, and many other debilitating chronic illnesses, she found a path to healing herself by biofeedback and frequency therapies. And it ultimately resulted in a total remission and healing of all her conditions and a renewed understanding of quantum biophysics and metaphysical sciences. She has an innate capacity to understand complex subjects and see the layers of patterns playing out in each person. She specializes in facilitating trauma and nervous system stabilization sessions through different forms of biofeedback. These sessions work within the amygdala, limbic system, and subconscious, where trauma is stored, causing dysregulation in the mind and body. Due to her mastery in this form of healing arts, many are able to liberate themselves from years or longer of suffering in just a few sessions. It's now becoming recognized that at least 80% of all health conditions reside within our body's stress, emotional, and trauma responses, rewiring the brain and body, which ultimately manifests in diseases of our mind, body, and spirit. Working with the nervous system, which includes the fascia and brain, it's key to healing any health challenge. And her Tucson biofeedback staff, which is really, I think, unique, they're all technicians who started as patients with her. And together, they work with people, helping them overcome chronic, previously written off health challenges. And you have one of those practices, Dr. Blessing, that I think you see the patients that have, every doctor has seen them, they have offered no answer, and the patient is really at their wit's end. And that's an extremely challenging practice, but I think very rewarding because you're able to offer them hope. So I wanted to thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was an absolute joy last time. So I know I gave a brief overview of how you came to this, but please feel free to open the conversation with how this unique practice came into being.
Sure. And you are correct that we tend to get a lot of the complicated cases or the cases that have been written off, even in the natural medicine realm, because the nervous system is so dysregulated that they can't usually handle much of anything. And some of them can't even eat very many foods, take many supplements, and that's usually the path that a lot of natural healers go down. So it requires us to constantly be on our toes and really approach each person in their unique capacity and meet them there and then come up with a customized treatment program for them. So you are definitely correct in that. It is a challenge, but it is also extremely rewarding too as we watch those patterns unwind. And they always say they feel like they've gotten a second lease on life.
Oh, that's amazing. And I've seen some of these patients and they've ended up in my practice after failing. I've been seeing dozens of doctors and you can just feel the, I don't know, I hate to say something negative about it, but their anxiety and their sometimes defensiveness, they're already angry. Mm-hmm. You figure you're not going to offer any other option for me. And they're very guarded. How do you break through that?
They definitely come in that way. But the setting that we have set up, even from the color choices that we choose, everything's very intentional in our clinic. We, our walls are lavender and a soft turquoise. So we immediately use the color therapy. And our entire center is actually tachyonized. So tachyon particles, they've been studying for a while, trying to figure out what they are and how to use them, which we barely understand. But we have realized that they vibrate at the 12th dimension. So it's a much higher frequency than even our tools, even the most advanced tools, can calibrate to. So we've put that in all of our walls. So immediately everybody says they just feel a sense of peace and calm. It's also electromagnetic protecting. So I think that the first, and I intentionally did this because I knew what kind of people that we work with. So I intentionally set the tone immediately with the colors, with the tachyon particles in the paint, and the entire setup. And then as they go through the process, and we just talk to them like a human being, we don't go through just a series or a questionnaire, you know, looking at a clipboard, never looking up. We just conversate with them. And so I feel the same way with animals, is when you approach them and are just fully, the ministry of presence, I think, is really discounted. And when you're just fully present with somebody, their walls can start to come down.
It's funny how that happens. You can actually see it in their face. You know, even the body language, people may be holding themselves, arms crossed, just very like a wall. Yeah. And by the end of that visit, they're smiling, they're engaged. It's just, that's what medicine is to me.
Yes. I mean,
that's the healthcare side of it. It's completely negated in the standard medical system now. It's very tragic, in my opinion. And it never was really, I don't think, valued. But now it's really frowned upon, and it's gone the opposite direction. And I know we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to start off the conversation with, and you may not be able to answer, but I'm just curious, what begins this process? Is it emotional trauma, or is it physical trauma? I know it's kind of a weird question, but I'm just curious, in your experience, what seems to be the trigger?
For the health conditions?
Yes, for pain, for chronic pain, for things that drive people down this path.
Yeah, what we have found is if you're really unwinding the pattern, you know, and I see patterns, they operate much like a Fibonacci sequence, which obviously is found everywhere in nature. As our health deteriorates, or as the belief that we age and start to die, the Fibonacci sequence collapses in on us. So what happens is when you kind of unwind that pattern down into the root or the source, there is always some type of emotional, spiritual, some unseen in the quantum biophysics aspect that is where it started. The last place anything shows up, positive or negative, is going to be in the physical body. It's the densest form of our expression as a human being. And so we have found you can't always get there with somebody. A lot of people, like you said, arms crossed, they don't really believe that emotions can impact the health. So you we have to kind of start, okay, then we're going to start here and unwind it slowly. The ones who are like, yes, I understand there's some emotional things here. There's patterns, I can feel them, I don't know how to get there. We can move much faster and more effective with them. So we have found that actually every single health challenge starts with the biological conflict that occurs in the unseen realm, whether it's emotional stress or some type of trauma.
I see. And I know we're going to, let's take our first break because I want to revisit this. And I want people to understand what the Fibonacci principle actually is when we come back. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, and you can go to her website, TucsonBioFeedback.com, to look, see more about her clinic, to find out the services that they offer, and to learn more about her. And prior to the break, Dr. Blessing, you mentioned something called the Fibonacci principle, and I've read about that. I mean, it's like sacred geometry. It's how all living, it's like the perfection of, it's what God has created, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But how can, what's an easier way for people to understand that?
So the easiest way is, I mean, our DNA spirals, right? So we understand that there is a spiral within our DNA, but everything spirals within us. And so sacred geometry, especially in regards to our biology, can get very complex, but I've been in this realm for a very long time, and so I can actually start to see the patterns playing out and how there's a sequence over here that's starting to collapse on itself that's connected to, when I say collapse on itself, it means it's not functioning full of vitality and health. So when it starts to collapse, it's like a death process or a decay process. And so it's also known as the golden ratio, and it all has to do with frequencies. So if somebody hasn't yet dove into understanding how literally everything, our glands, our tissues, our organs, our emotions have a very specific frequency signature, this may be foreign, but the simplest way to understand this is the golden ratio is looked at as the perfect ratio. They use it a lot in plastic surgery. That's not my path that I want to go down, but they use the golden ratio as a way to get everything symmetrical and how they go about facelifts and different elements. So if you look at it more from the golden ratio and the Fibonacci sequence being a state of perfection, that's really the easiest way to understand that. And obviously our whole world is far from the state of perfection and harmony. But there are ways that we can start to restore harmony and stabilization within our cells, within our DNA, and of course, within our nervous system. So it's especially the fascia. The fascia is very, very connected to trauma. It stores everything. It's a newer one. They really haven't talked about it till the recent 15 years. But the fascia is actually part of our nervous system. It's extremely sensitive, and it stores everything. And if you were to take our entire fascia outside of our body and set it next to us, it's like Spider-Man's web. It's sticky. It snaps back like a rubber band, but it also stores literally every single thought, experience, and thing we've ever viewed. So you can imagine there are hundreds of millions, if not more, bits of storage in that. And when that starts to get blocked, because the fascia also works with every organ, every cell, it holds everything in place. And I call it, it's the pathway of light. It's our highway of light. And in the book, Cellular Awakening, it's about how our body uses and stores light. So the more light we can store and the more light can move through the fascia highways, the easier our health will be because there's no more disruption or dysregulation. The patterns have been unwound, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And it leads me to, I guess, a statement about those folks who go through the standard psychological pathway of healing. Let's say speaking to somebody or taking a medication. That has nothing to do with this, this vital pathway through the system. It totally ignores it, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. So the challenge with the traditional pathway, it makes our line of work more challenging in a good way, because what we do is we really have to look at, okay, there's the psychological element, there's the physiological element, there's the emotional element, but there's also the spiritual element. And when we take in a new initial intake, we run a series of non-invasive scans, and then we'll take a look at their brainwave patterns, what's going on in their physiology. And then I also go into their history, and we put together, German New Medicine is really leading the way in this. And they look at every single health manifestation stemming from some type of biological conflict. They also believe the psychologist needs to understand biology and medicine from that perspective. And then the doctor needs to understand psychology, and they need to come together. The problem, as you know, with our current healthcare system, which I can't even call it that with a clear conscience, with our current system, is everything is separated. You have a specialist for your toe. You have a specialist for ear, nose, and throat, but nothing happens in isolation. Nothing heals in isolation. And so what you really have to do is take a wide lens picture and become more of a detective. Most of the medical professionals are really good at going through the motions. There's no connection. It's okay, does this and this add up? Okay, we're going to put you on this medication or give you this diagnosis. But they don't tell you why or how to resolve it. So what we have to do is really become detectives within the people who come in and start to unravel and unwind those patterns that have created these biological conflicts manifesting as health issues.
I think that's a really excellent way to state that about the healthcare profession. And, you know, from I've been trained the typical way, but I have a critical thinking bone in my body, and I
love clearly. Thank you.
And I love the detective side of healthcare. And yes. As an ENT, I know it is connected to the gut, to everything else in the system. Mm-hmm. So it's been this path for me of learning and expanding and using that in my practice. But it, you know, when I think about how bad the healthcare system, you're looking at numbers that don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Like we're told that hemoglobin A1C means something for a diabetic, but it's really a number created by big pharma to sell a drug. I mean, if you want to be honest. And all these tests for thyroid function, they don't tell you how the thyroid functions until it's totally off track.
Right.
So, you know, everything we're doing is, a day late. And then our interpretation is always where there's a hammer, there's a nail, and it's a drug or mm-hmm. a surgery. But you're talking about fixing this from the deepest, most smallest level, beneath the cellular level. And that to me is just fascinating because it isn't one size fits all. And that's where I think we get into trouble with general healthcare. It's, you know, it's one thing for everybody and it's supposed to work for children, adults, mm-hmm. whatever sex, race, whatever. And that's not how people are. So when you look at the neurological pathways, and I went at some point in the show, I'm sure we're going to also go into more detail about the different diseases, because these are the ones that we hear about on TV constantly. And there's always some drug for them, but they never fix it. So from the standpoint of the neurological pathways, is it something like memory? Does it get stuck in the specific part of the brain, like the limbic system, the hippocampus system, where you're just on this track of it's going over and over? Like PTSD, for example, it reminds me of the people just having the trauma, reliving it over and over, and it becomes this route over this rut that they can't seem to get out of. Is that how people should think about it?
Yeah, so we call it loops. So our entire world honestly works by way of biofeedback, which is simply a feedback system. You know, what we put out, we then create an experience. And in neuroscience, for example, the reticular activating system is the part of the brain that will match your reality and experience to what's stored there. And in spiritual communities, it's known as the law of attraction. Same thing, different verbiage to describe it. And what happens is most people's storage is traumatic and loaded with fear, panic, anxiety, terror, stress. And so what that is it's playing out in their reality until you're able to go in and rewire those pathways, which can be done. I mean, there's a number of different ways to do that. Neurofeedback, biofeedback being one of them. But even just bringing awareness to that pattern when you're in it and exploring it and slowing down, we always say that healing is a side effect of awareness. So when you're in these loops, we have the power to break them and then to create new neural pathways, because the brain can grow and change and shift pathways at any age now, which not long ago, they said stop changing and growing at 25. So we kind of look at a lot of the scientific community. They're slower. And what we know innately is that we are able to heal from virtually anything with the proper tools and a removal of the interference, whatever the interference is, and a rewiring of our communication centers, primarily the nervous system. So when the limbic system, which is where a lot of our emotions are stored, a lot more people are starting to become aware of that, thanks to things like DNRS and at-home trainings you can do. That has the capacity to move you out of the old traumatic emotions. The amygdala obviously is the fear center and the subconscious ruler, but it also stores ancestral trauma. So it's not just our DNA that carries these traumas in, it's also our amygdala center. And so that's why people will find they're getting panicked in certain situations or certain triggers that they're not even sure why. Somebody can have a fantastic childhood and not really have the major traumas and still have PTSD. So part of that is the passed down version. And another part of it is it can be as simple as an emotional experience when you were two that you didn't process out that then became much bigger inside of the brain. And the brain is really just trying to protect us from getting hurt again.
Well, that actually reminds me, or makes me question now, the overwhelming race aspect of our culture. I mean, everybody's a victim. It's like it's always being used as a way to traumatize people. You know,
or
you
re-traumatize.
Can, exactly. So mm-hmm. you're saying there is a memory then. There is a physiological on switch mm-hmm. that can be triggered by this. I didn't think that was the case, but I mean, but obviously mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah, it's very real. And I have a frustration with a lot of the systems in our world because they're literally set up the opposite of how we could actually thrive and have ease and joy and unity. And unity doesn't mean sameness, doesn't mean we look the same, talk the same, even think the same. It simply means that we honor and respect each other's differences, but we all recognize that most people, minus the ones they still haven't been able to figure out, the psychopaths, most people though, we're all here. We want to take care of our family. We want to have a life of purpose and fulfillment and have more than we need. If you really get down to it, we all have the same desire. And a lot of the systems are kind of in bed together. Media feeds the fear activates that switch. Once that switch comes on, the immune system, they've done studies where fear and anger actually suppress the immune system and have a far greater impact than any type of exposure to a pathogen. And so it's almost like they're all playing in this large loop together that are then perpetuating the state of illness and dis-ease, which is simply a state of lack of ease in the mm-hmm. body. My husband is African-American as well, and he's done a lot of work to break free from a lot of the patterns and projections that were hurled at him through his upbringing as well. So it is completely possible. And once you are liberated from that fear trigger, then you can really start to see things objectively without an emotional charge. And from that point, you become empowered. The issue is the medical system doesn't really like empowered people, nor does the government or any system for that matter, because you're challenging this status quo that has kept their control, and they are able to manipulate us in that state. When you're able to not be triggered and to look at things objectively and from a non-emotional perspective, then you're able to process it efficiently and make the decision that is best for you and the greatest good of all.
I think that was just so well said that there's nothing else to do now except take a break and think about that. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing. And again, you can go to her website, TucsonBioFeedback.com. That was so eloquently stated in the before the break, Dr. Blessing. I've felt this, but I couldn't articulate it. I've obviously have spent a lot of time not accepting this. I don't know. I mean, from my family's standpoint, it was always work hard, do well. Mm-hmm. Don't take anything for granted. Just do your best. And it has nothing to do with what you look like or mm-hmm. who you are. It's what you put out. And I guess I've already always grown up that way. So it's a little bit foreign to me to fall into that trap, but I understand it. But now that we know, and that's with every group, I don't think it's just Black people. I think it's every single group has been hyphenated in a yes. way to disempower them and to make them look at this at the people who look different from them as the enemy. This to me seems like it's more of a, it's put out there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And how do we just, like your husband, he had to have, I would think, some trigger that said, I'm going to just disengage. How do we get people to start that process? Because it's making us ill. It's making our society ill. And I think society goes as we all go. If we're all in the positive mode and in a flow and in a positive, everybody's like that, you say everybody's good, mm-hmm. then we wouldn't be having this power against us, would we?
We wouldn't. And we would. So the way that the body works, right? I always take micro and macro. So there are cells that make up our spleen. There are cells that make up our heart. There are cells that make up our spine. Now, none of them are more important than the other. They all have a duty to play. And the problem with society is they've created such chaos in the system overall of just humanity that nobody knows what their role is, what their position is. And so just like if the spleen started saying, well, I want to play the heart now, or I'm angry at the heart and attacking that, hence autoimmune, when the cells start to attack themselves. It really plays out from a micro scale. We know what that looks like: poor health, physical pain, inability to function. Well, in society, we're facing the same thing. The body of society is very ill. And the beginning place. So Dr. Hawkins wrote a number of books, but the best one I recommend is The Map of Consciousness. And he did different studies over his decades of working. His background is he grew up very religious, didn't like that, became atheist, became an MD, PhD, had a very successful practice, then felt empty, then went into a deep spiritual enlightenment process, and then kind of came back in the middle to bridge the gap. And he wrote a book, The Map of Consciousness, where he shows that the constructive energy for body and society starts at a calibration rate of 200. This is a vibrational calibration rate. And he tested this. 200 is courage. Now, the past 2 years, for example, if you had the courage to stand for your own health rights, you were vilified. So you needed a lot of it, the recent 2 years. Once you hit courage, then there's higher states of consciousness all the way up to love, which calibrates at 500. And he was just telling people the simplest ways, especially the people that you want to hate or dislike, because just the feeling of dislike creates dis-ease in our bodies. And to send loving thoughts, just loving thoughts. Okay, this person cut me off. All right, you know what? I'm feeling a little upset. I just want to bless them. I don't know what they're going through. I'm just going to send loving thoughts. Even if you don't know what else to say, just say, I'm going to send loving thoughts. And what that does is it recalibrates your body. And then the body then reaches a higher state of vitality. He went beyond just the individual calibration he has the whole chart. We can completely resolve crime and poverty just by recalibrating consciousness. So when a city or an area calibrates to 500, which is loving thoughts, above that is peace, joy, and then the highest is enlightenment. Most people will not reach enlightenment. Those are like the monks who sit on the mountain, and their whole job is just to hold that vibration, because one person holding the vibration of enlightenment, which is like 750, it offsets 775 million people at a lower calibration. So we are so much more powerful than they have wanted us to know. And they want to keep us in this conflict of duality in belief systems. And that is a big part of the feedback loop going on. And so when they calibrate at 500, the poverty and crime rate drops to 0.2%. And then obviously the lower the calibration, the higher the crime rate grows. So the more of us that can actually calibrate to loving thoughts is the easiest way to understand it. But in the book, you can actually look at the charts and see how to work your way up, the faster we heal society. And I've always said, we heal this world one person at a time. When we heal in us, we heal in the world. And we wish it would be some massive movement or some activation, because it would be faster that way. But it also takes away the personal responsibility if we had it that way. And so it really does come down to you, to me, to the person next to us, to the person in front of us. And we can literally heal and change the world.
It takes courage, and you have to do something. It's not a passive activity at all, is it?
No. It's active, because the ego mind, the monkey mind, the programs out there to cause stress and division amongst us is always playing. So we constantly have to be aware and actively engaged in managing our energetic state.
There's something about our society now that nobody wants to take responsibility. There is no personal responsibility. It happened to you. You don't have a choice. And therefore, you're entitled or encouraged to lash out. And it's almost like this, it's got its own path. But if everybody, as you just described, takes a step back from it, and I think part of that to me is turn it off, turn off the internet, turn off the Twitter, all these things that are just, I think, designed to keep you distracted, to keep you in this loop that you just described of unhappiness. If you're not happy, you're never going to want to not be distracted, right? Because you can't sit alone and just, you know, deal with it. That, to me, it's, I don't know, it's just different now where people just don't want to do that. It's all about somebody else, living through somebody else. Or maybe if people don't even know you, but they follow you, you're all of a sudden you're important. There's like the lowest common denominator all of a sudden of what makes us human. It's just weird.
Yeah, it is. And it makes for a miserable life. And, you know, life can be literally magical and miraculous once we get out of our own misery loops. And what happens to us, I mean, we've all been through things. We've all been victims in a moment of something that happened, whether it was childhood abuse, sexual trauma. We can and have been victims of an event, but living with the victim consciousness, that's a totally different story, because now you're perpetuating that event and making it your entire reality through the course of your life. So a big part of it is acknowledging, okay, yes, I was a victim to this event in this situation, but what can I do about it now? How do I rise above this? How do I harness this anger into potency? How do I transform this fear into kindness, into peace? And it really takes that self-reflection. But the most important thing we always say when people come in here is, who gets the miraculous results? We're talking life-changing, brings tears to ours and their eyes. It's the ones who are the most willing, the ones who are the most willing to say, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I have to uncover. I don't care what I have to let go, what I'm holding inside of me. Let's do it. They're the ones who get the miraculous results. The ones who are more resistant and want to rationalize and try to protect their belief systems, try to protect their pain points. Those are the ones that they make incremental changes. So willingness, I mean, that has to be there. If you don't have willingness, your life is going to remain in the loop that you're in, and it will continue to spiral down.
Now, is that the same thing as saying, is it just saying I'm going to let it go, or is it I'm going to examine it and change it into something that's positive? Is it that, which, or is it both?
It's both. It can, and this is where the one size, one way doesn't fit all. And this is also difficult, I think, for our society, who we grew up in a school where there's true and false, right and wrong question. But that's not how life works. There is an abundance of a rainbow area. And in that rainbow area, okay, this thing may just be something, you just got to shed it like the snake sheds its skin. Or another thing may say, hey, I need you to sit with me, explore me, acknowledge me. Let me know, hey, you see me, and then it will just transform. And sometimes you'll need to transform, say, like anger into potency in a very real actionable way. So it really does depend on what the situation requires. And this is why awareness is so key. And also, this is why facilitation from people who have walked it, and it's not just theory, you know, psychologists are trained in theory. Very few of them embody. We know that we have trauma specialists who come in here with different ailments, and they understand theoretically, but embodiment, walking it and living it, it's very, very different than just theory.
That's true. And that's the problem too with healthcare. It's all these academicians and these people who don't live, they're not out there seeing patients the same way as someone, for example, a private practitioner, where you're out there on the front line and you're making decisions based on what you're seeing, as opposed to this theoretical, academic, and it's tainted, frankly, because it's not about the individual. It's about, they've already have the conclusion. They're trying to make the pathway fit the conclusion, whether that's a medication or an algorithm, but it's not real. And you just described what makes what you do so powerful, because it's based on the individual. It is not a one size fits all. That's the absolute opposite of what's going on in the medical system right now. If you're an outlier, they want to crush you. And if you're, as a doctor, for sure, and as a patient, if you don't take their medication in the way they want to, I have people who have cancer, they don't want to do the standard chemotherapy. And I think when we finally take our power back, nobody gets to control us like that. And I love that empowerment, because once you have it, I think you're absolutely right. it goes nowhere. So let's take our last break because I want to learn more about the modalities and go into more detail. So let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing. And Dr. Blessing, I know that you have a clinic, and I'm just curious, do people have to go out to Arizona to see you, or can do you do anything virtually?
Yeah, we do. Not all, but we do offer some of our modalities virtually. And there are some systems that we utilize in clinic that can be purchased as well. So we do have the capacity to work with people remotely, and that is a possibility. And we can run the initial biofeedback scan remotely as well.
Well, that's good to know, because I think people need to line up to get out to your clinic. I can only imagine how busy you must be. And
Yeah, we currently have a wait list. So if people do want to get on the wait list, please do email so we can get your name on there.
Well, I wanted to go into more detail about some of the actual diseases and conditions that you treat. For me, I see some interesting things with mold, and mold in the South is a major issue, and mold toxicity. That's an energetic disease, is it not? I mean, I've heard of things like your cell phone being it and Wi-Fi and EMF being able to excite that toxic condition more so. Is that something that you found?
Yes. So mold, so everything has its layers, right? So there's the physical aspect of mold and what that does, especially when it's in the brain. But then, you know, whenever we work with mold, people who, they call themselves moldies. whenever we work with moldies, we actually have worked very well with supporting their recovery. And a lot of times we have to start with the physical, kind of down-regulating that response. A lot of times they have histamine intolerances from the mold, so they are reactive to everything because their nervous system and their brain is just hyper-reactive due to the mold toxicity. But beneath that, there's always a deeper emotional and biological conflict. So we, when we are able to get down into those areas, it's remarkable what the body and the brain can do. Because when you release the pattern that is holding the mold. So for example, whenever I do a BOWD session or an EVOX, those are my two specialties. Both of those work on the subconscious and like the amygdala, the limbic system, and the parts of the brain that store a lot of the traumas. Those are my specialties here. And when we work with those, when you have cleared a pattern and have been able to move beyond that, then the urine, we've tested this in the past, the urine will actually hold an abundance of toxins, different toxins, parasites, pathogens, et cetera, after that clearing. Because when you release that toxic emotional or trauma, then the body can finally let go of those toxins that it was holding on to. So I'm sure you're aware of people who have become detox addicts. They're addicted to doing different types of detoxes and cleanses, and they don't really ever seem to get ahead a lot, or it's temporary. The reason is because now you've got to unwind to the deeper part. Why is the resonance of this particular mold, for example, what is holding this mold resonance in the body, in the biofield? And then once you address that, there's no longer a magnetic resonance for the mold anymore.
Wow, that's amazing, but it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of more, I guess, psychological issues like ADD or ADHD, how does that lend itself to your treatment?
So ADD and ADHD, especially when it comes to children, our biggest challenge is the parents. So the parents don't recognize the role that they play in it all the time. And a lot of the ADD, ADHD elements come into either A, not getting enough love or attention, or B, getting too much, whether it's positive or negative, it doesn't really matter. So then the brain is trying to process that out, and it's kind of in this chaotic pattern. So a lot of it does have to do with, there's a lot of elements. Diet, especially with males, really affect the brain function. So certain foods, certain exposures to stimuli, and that's a big part, is trying to educate the parent on what the bigger picture is with it, because it's not just a brain dysregulation. There is a holistic view and an underlying conflict that is also connected to that. And if they do understand that and they do piece that together, it's fantastic. And if they don't, they're constantly frustrated. And then the child, unfortunately, feels like something's always wrong with them, which then that creates a whole other biological conflict that's going to manifest either early or later into some other health challenge or addiction.
It's interesting. And ADD, ADHD, just from a medical perspective, there is no blood test for it. There's just like depression or anxiety. There's just not something that you can test for or look at it on a genetic level. So it's a clinical diagnosis. And there's a lot of that that goes on that people don't realize, I think.
There is. And that was one of the things I was labeled with when I was younger, which even as a young girl, as a teenager, I always questioned the process and the way that the medical system had done things. It just didn't make sense to me. I mean, if you really look at it from a rational, logical perspective, the entire medical system won't make sense to any of us. And so when they diagnosed me with that, yes, there was challenges with being able to harness my creative capacities, because really in ADHD specifically, you have a lot of creative capacity. And the problem is when you're in school, there's only one way of doing school. Well, this comes back to the same thing. There's not one way of learning. And we're not set up to facilitate and honor all of our different ways of learning. And so if you don't fit into this box, you're an outcast, which then contributes to a biological conflict, hence the disease epidemic and everything else that's going on. So we can really trace everything down to the systemic way that we're brought up, whether it's education and the medical system. It's all this one size fits all. And if you don't fit into this, you're going to be punished. And then that creates people either who conform but are unhappy, miserable, and sick, or the rebels who are then outcasted. And eventually, usually the rebels, if they stick with their life path, find joy, happiness, and peace. But at the same time, it's been a lonely path.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned the education system. Again, that seems to have gone left in terms of having children be able to express themselves. It's really very censored now. If you don't fit a certain pathway, if you actually do stand for something and it's against what the school considers to be the norm, you really are. They try to crush your spirit. Mm-hmm. I was blessed. I didn't go to a school like that, but I think the education system seems to be primed for that now. So from what you described, I foresee a lot of children as they grow up ending up with this conflict, and we're moving towards a more an ill society from mental, emotional. I mean, they have emotional learning now that's going on, which is like the opposite of really what's going on with children. It's sad. And there's nobody there to take their side. And the parents really don't know, because they're living separate existences, trying to keep the lights on and that sort of thing. I mean, it takes consciousness. You have to know that you don't like this and you have to withdraw your consent from it. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to do this for you. You have to do it.
Yeah, it's true. And you're right. It is tough because these parents are just working, trying to keep a roof over their heads, food, the lights on. And again, that's another piece of society that's been set up that way. Like, society has really been created for us to serve the entities and systems that have had controls on this planet. And so the more of us that are becoming conscious, and this goes way back. I mean, we have frequency therapies that have been outlawed and hidden from us. I mean, we wouldn't need surgeries right now. We wouldn't need medications right now if these modalities, these technologies were actually meant, and if they really cared about the people, these would be out there right now. We would have no need for surgery and medication. I'm not lying, because I've seen a library, the technologies that have been repressed. And this is not even the other thousands that are connected to that. So the problem has been that in order for a few to get rich and keep their controls, the rest of us have suffered. And so that's goes back to the courage thing. People like you, people like myself, really stepping up and creating, they're small, but they're portals for change. And they're opportunities for people to start realizing that they have more power than they realize, and helping them take those small incremental steps within their own life and in their own health to reclaim their sovereignty over their body, over their mind, and over their decisions. And as each of us do that, it will create a wave that will create systemic change. But it is hard. It's not easy. You know this.
I do.
It's hard, but it is worth it. I would never go back to sleep.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And it's that you cross that bridge of, I'm going to depend on me. I'm going to do this for the right reason, the right thing for the right reason. I don't care what anybody else says. That to me was the first thing that made me decide to stand my ground. Mm-hmm. And the rest is, you know, I'm putting on this earth to do certain things, and I'm not going to let anybody take this from me. And yeah, that to me was the genesis of, nobody gets to decide my happiness or what I'm big enough to do. And I'm going to keep learning. And I think patients also need to have that. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who walk into my office where I'm not happy. I regret doing X, Y, and Z, but they're just powerless, and they leave empowered. And that's to me like the best, you know, medicine that I could give anybody. You have power. Take it back.
Empowerment is the greatest gift that any of us can give each other. It really is.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, time goes way too short. We didn't even get to discuss some of the other things that you treat. And just a list of fertility, migraine and headaches, food sensitivities. I really would love to have you come back just to talk about the modalities in more detail. Yeah. Because it's an epidemic of infertility, of allergy, asthma, from my standpoint, but cancer. These are things that we need to really get a handle on, one patient at a time. So I really hope you can come back. I would love to have you back on.
I'd love to.
Good. So in the minutes that we have left, how can people reach you and learn more about what your services offer?
Yeah, you can visit our site, TucsonBioFeedback.com, and we have an abundance of information on there. We have an education page, which is the great place to start. It links our different modalities. It has some of the videos and podcasts and educational like books and different things. So the education tab is great to just start learning about this world and your world and your body. And then if you're interested in getting on the wait list for openings, by all means, you can email us info@TucsonBioFeedback.com. Let us know too if you're local or you're remote, because that does make a difference as well.
Well, Dr. Blessing, thank you for everything you do. I wish you Godspeed and just continue to be there, because you're making a difference and it's an honor to know you.
Thank you. Kindwise.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.